Open your Bibles today to Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 is the first book, or I should say the first psalm in the fifth book of the Psalms. It opens up the fifth book of the five books of the Psalms. And essentially what we have here is what answers to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. And a little summary of the psalm I have written in the margin of my Bible: God's goodness and providential care and his loving kindness. The emphasis here is on his goodness in the temporal affairs of man. And specifically, it looks at the people of Israel for most of the psalm, and more generally mankind as a whole from verse 33 on. And God's loving kindness, his temporal care. In fact, when it opens, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." And the word there, mercy, can probably be better translated loving kindness or his steadfast love. And that's how the psalm actually ends. We get in verse 43, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord," or the steadfast love of the Lord. So it opens with an expression of his loving kindness and his steadfast love. And in fact, this term, or these terms, his mercy or his loving kindness endureth forever, is generally connected with the Jewish remnant. And we see this in, for example, when the captives of Judah came back from Persia after the 70-year Babylonian captivity, and they're rebuilding the temple. You'll often get this expression, that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And so when Israel is in captivity and the Lord delivers them, or they'll pray this prayer for deliverance, and they'll say, "For his mercy endures forever," or "his loving kindness endures forever." Now, I have another little introductory note here, taken from Arno C. Gabelein and his commentary on the Psalms, an excellent commentary on the Psalms. And I'll just, if you'll let me, just read his introduction, because it really helps us understand what the psalm is about. He says, "We enter now into the Deuteronomy section of the book of the Psalms. The fifth book, written by Moses, begins with a great retrospect in the plains of Moab, in which inspired Moses reviews God's gracious dealings with his people." So God reviews his dealings with the people of Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy. In fact, that's what is in the psalm. Psalm 107, it's a review of their history. But in contrast to what we saw in Psalm 106, in Psalm 106, we review the history of the people of Israel there as well. But there the emphasis was on their rebellion and their stiff-neckedness and their sinfulness. Now here, their sin is brought out, but the emphasis is not on their rebellion, but the emphasis is really on the Lord's delivering power, his providential grace, his loving kindness in helping them in spite of their sinfulness. And so in that way, we can perhaps identify with that, those of us who are saved. And so Gabelein goes on to say, "They were facing the land of promise, that is, in the plains of Moab under Moses, into which they were soon to enter. In the opening psalm of this Deuteronomy section, that is Psalm 107, the remnant of Israel is seen prophetically regathered and about to enter the land, and they are looking back over their age-long experiences, how he had led them, dealt with them, humbled them, and preserved and kept them." And so it produces thanksgiving and praise. And so we see this in the first three verses. Let's just read them, the first three verses of this psalm. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy or his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Now, strictly, this is applying to the people of Israel. It does not apply, or I should say it does apply to us, but as far as the interpretation goes, it's strictly dealing with the people of Israel. As Christians, we weren't scattered into the lands of the Gentiles from the east and the west and the north and the south. The people of Israel were and are. And in the end days, God is gathering them back to their land. And this verse foresees, these verses foresee the final regathering of the people of Israel. Now, we can apply it to us prophetically, not prophetically so much, but just as a practical application. So we get in verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, every Christian can identify with this, that we were under the power of the enemy, we were in our sins, and the Lord saved us according to his loving kindness and his mercy. And I like this little verse 2, this thought where the psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And so the redeemed of the Lord here, Israel, is confessing the great work of deliverance that God had allowed them to experience. But this is true for us as well, in by way of application. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're saved, let people know it. Confess it. You know, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So confession with the mouth has something to do with this. It's not just secret disciple keeping it in your heart, but saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a conversion experience? Do you have something that has happened in your life where God has entered in and shown mercy to you or delivered you from a particular situation? Then tell people about it. You know, I often say that the only difference between a swamp and a lake is that a lake has an outflow. A swamp has no outflow. And we ought to outflow. There ought to be an outflow in our lives, you know, praising the Lord and telling others about him. And so this is what we get in the psalm. For if you drop down to verse 10, it speaks of those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction, in iron. And it was due to their own rebellion. We get that in verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. But then it goes on to speak of the Lord entering in providentially and delivering them. It says in verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so the theme continually goes along this way in the psalm. And then in verse 23 to verse 30, we get the fact of the people being in the sea, in the ships. Verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You know, here in Nova Scotia, we're very close, of course, to the Atlantic Ocean. We're basically surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean. If you see the North Atlantic on a windy day or in a storm, you see the power of the ocean. And every once in a while, we get people coming down here from areas of the country where they're not familiar with the ocean. They know about lakes. But we always tell them, the ocean is not a lake. The ocean has power. You cannot overpower the ocean. The ocean will overpower you. And every year we get so many tourists that are swept into the sea and that type of thing because they think it's just like a lake. It's not a lake. And so we see the power of God in the ocean, the mighty thundering waters. And it's interesting, we get here in verse 28, those that are on the ocean, they're in a storm. And it says, they're at their wits' end at the end of verse 27. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out all of their distresses. He makes the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. They are glad because they are quiet. That is, the waters are quiet. So he brings them to their desired haven. You know, when I was reading this, I was thinking of the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee when they were in the midst of the storm. You know, and in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus said, "Peace, be still," to the waters, there was the storm immediately calmed. And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this?" And confessed them to be the Son of God. He had power over nature. And then John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 21, and it says that they were immediately to their destination. They were immediately at land. And it's striking that we have this here in verse 30. He brought them to their desired destination. But we see that it's the Lord here. It's Yahweh. It's Jehovah here in Psalm 107. Of course, in the Gospels, it's the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is Jehovah. Now, from verse 33 on, it's more or less the Lord's mercy and loving kindness to mankind in general, his general grace, if you want to put it that way. it can be applied generally to mankind, because, you know, the Lord is providentially over all. He gives us good things. He gives us the sun and the rain. He gives us our seasons. He gives us food. He gives us dwelling places. Whether you be the just or the unjust, his rain falls upon both. And then again, we close with this thanksgiving and praise to the loving kindness of the Lord. Well, may you experience the loving kindness of the Lord in your life today, in practical ways and in spiritual ways. May the Lord bless you.